VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us for what I believe is a very critical program here on Crosstalk. In Revelation chapter 17, the Bible speaks of a great harlot, a coming one-world religion. This is going to be a false religion, ladies and gentlemen. It's a religion that will spread among the multitudes, reaching all nations and tongues of the earth. It's a religion that's described as being drunken with the blood of the saints. Knowing that God has outlined in His Word this to come about in the future, it's interesting to note and to bring to your attention today on Crosstalk that on Monday, February 4th, 2019, Pope Francis and the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, the Islamic Sheikh Amel Al-Tayeb, met together and signed a declaration calling for tolerance and peace among the nations of the world. It's called a document on human fraternity for world peace and living together. We're here to discuss the topic with us today is Mike Gendron. Mike is the founder and director of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. For those of you that are new to the name of Mike Gendron, Mike was a devout Roman Catholic for over 30 years, about 34 years. He was taught to rely upon the authority of the church above all else. He studied the catechism. He lived it. He searched the scriptures, though, and as he did, he was amazed to find out that what he read in scripture contradicted the very teachings of the Roman Catholic Church and contradicted the traditions of the Roman Catholic Church that he had been a part of for so long. Well, friends, the scriptures and the Spirit of God opened his eyes to the truth. He trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and now, indeed, the Bible has become his sole authority in all matters of faith. Mike, so good to have you back with us here today on Crosstalk.
Well, Jim, it's always good to be on your show and discuss the important events of the day, and nothing more important than what's going on as we talk about the coming global religion.
Indeed, Mike, and this was a document signed February 4th. It was signed in Abu Dhabi and called for all persons who have faith in God and faith in human fraternity to unite and work together. Tell us about this document.
Well, it's really an historic document. In fact, it's the first time there's ever been a papal visit to the Arab Gulf states, and really marks a historical breakthrough between Islamic and Roman Catholic dialogue. It's been going on for some time, but I think this visit by the Pope to sign this historic document is not only historic, but it's also prophetic because of what we've talked about in Revelation 17. But this document is a declaration calling for peace between nations, religions, and races. And the Pope made sure there was a concerted effort to include all the religions of the world in the audience, because I really believe he understands that if he can get the largest religion of the world, Islam, to come on his side, then the rest of the religions will follow suit. And so that's his agenda, to bring all religions under the power and influence of the papacy.
Well, this document's about 6 pages long. I'd like to just share a few pages of this, and actually a few paragraphs I'll share with you listeners, because it's a document that gets into areas of social injustice, inequality, terrorism, extremism. But, Mike, in the document it says, in the name of God and everything stated, Al-Azhar al-Sharif and the Muslims of the East and West, together with the Catholic Church and the Catholics of the East and West, declare the adoption of a culture of dialogue as the path, mutual cooperation as the code of conduct, reciprocal understanding as the method and standard. This is all part of that interfaith dialogue. Let's all come together. Let's all cooperate. After all, we all have the same God. I mean, isn't that the vantage point that they're coming from?
Well, and that's the way they approach it. They have a generic God, because clearly the Catholic God and the Islamic God are different. The Catholic God has a son, but the Islamic God does not. And so it's a generic God that they're coming together to form unity. But it's interesting, as you read the historic development of this document, they said it was prepared with much reflection and prayer. And the Pope goes on to say, if we believers are not able to shake hands, embrace one another, and kiss one another, and even pray, our faith will be defeated. He said the document is born of faith in God, who is the Father of all and the Father of peace. And it's really interesting. As I read the document, I looked for the name above all names, the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was not mentioned in the document. And yet this document was a document encouraging peace with all religions.
So can there be true peace without the Prince of Peace?
No, not at all. Jesus came to divide father against son, mother against daughter, believers from unbelievers. He came with a sword. And so the only unity is a unity of the Holy Spirit when people are born again by believing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The document says, we who believe in God and in the final meeting with him and his judgment on the basis of our religious and moral responsibility, and through this document call upon ourselves, upon the leaders of the world, as well as the architects of international policy and world economy, to work strenuously to spread the culture of tolerance and of living together in peace, to intervene at the earliest opportunity to stop the shedding of innocent blood and bring an end to wars, conflicts, environmental decay, and the moral and cultural decline that the world is presently experiencing. Mike, we could spend the whole program just on that paragraph, but I find it several things interesting, because they talk about to stop the shedding of innocent blood. Isn't that, though, that what we saw come through from the Catholic Church, putting to death those who wanted the Bible in English for the common person to understand? Isn't that what we also get from Islam when we see hear the words Allahu Akbar as somebody's head is about to be taken from them?
Yeah, you're so right. Both religions have a history of shedding innocent blood. But we also have to realize that when it comes to Islam, they are allowed to lie as long as it promotes their religion. And so these documents cannot really be trusted, even though the signer of the document, the Grand Imam, he's considered a tolerant and moderate Muslim, and he's actually rejected connections to the Muslim Brotherhood. He's also condemned ISIS. However, when it comes to apostasy, anyone departing from the Islamic faith, they are to be punished by death. And so we have to take this document prophetically, but also with a grain of salt, because both religions are under world dominion. Mm-hmm. And I think they can come together with a generic God. It's really interesting, Jim. The Pope said to Muslims that faith in God is what unifies us. And then he went on to say that pluralism is the will of God. Well, that's the furthest thing from the truth, but both religions are known for speaking lies to deceive people.
Yeah, and especially as we look at the Quran and the dictate to strike or kill the infidel, we see that there. And I find it also interesting to point out, Gatestone Institute did a story about this imam who did the signing on this, and he, as you mentioned, has gone on record talking about the apostates. Anyone born to a Muslim father who wishes to leave Islam should be punished, saying that the apostate must either renounce his apostasy or else be killed. Doesn't seem to fall under the dictates of this world peace document.
No, it really doesn't. But then again, we have to recognize the source of the document. And it's just an attempt to deceive people, to unite the world under a false peace. And we know prophetically that there will be a false peace signed by the leaders of the world, and this may be a precursor to that.
Mike, you conducted an interview with us previous regarding the similarities between Islam and Roman Catholicism, and listeners, we actually encourage you to go to our website, crosstalkamerica.com. Listen to the program. It was May 16th, 2018. We're not going to be able to unpack that topic in full today as we did on that day, discussing each point, but Mike, I really believe that the points that you brought out are so foundational to the very things we're talking about today that it would be important to mention these points that you shared on the program, the general points, and give us an overview, because many people are led to believe that these religions are diametrically opposed to one another, but instead, you found a whole lot of similarities.
Yeah, I really did find a lot of similarities. Both of them reject the supreme authority of Scripture. And, of course, whenever you reject the supreme authority of Scripture, then that allows you to come up with any doctrine that opposes the Word of God, and both religions are good at that. They both embrace another Jesus. Muslims have a Jesus that is called Isis, and he is said to be a good prophet of God, a good prophet of Muhammad. Muhammad was the first prophet, and Allah was the God that Muhammad received his revelation from. But we also know that the Catholic Church has another Jesus that did not finish the work of redemption. He returns every day at the beck and call of a priest to be transubstantiated into a Eucharist. And so it's a false Christ in both religions. They both have a works righteousness salvation. And Jim, ultimately, this is going to be the common bond of all the religions of the world, because the only faith that proclaims salvation by grace and an all-sufficient Savior is Christianity. And Roman Catholicism is no different from Islam or Buddhism or Mormonism. Any of the religions of the world, they all teach that you must do things to appease a holy God and in order to be saved. The next two common bonds, I think, are the most important, because they both revere Mary as the most esteemed woman who has ever lived. In fact, it's interesting to note that Mary is mentioned more times in the Quran than she is in the Bible. There's a whole chapter dedicated to Mary in the Quran. She's mentioned 37 times, and she is a perfect picture of submission, which is what Islam is all about. And so with both religions esteeming Mary so highly, it's understandable then how apparitions of Mary will be a catalyst to bring both religions together. And we know that apparitions of Mary are not truly Mary. They're deceiving spirits. But we do know that in the end times, lying signs and wonders will be used by the devil to accomplish his purpose of rebuilding the religious Tower of Babel. And so as Muslims and Catholics are flocking to apparition sites to receive messages from Mary, we can only wonder if this would be one of the signs that the devil will use to unite these two great religions.
You've also pointed out that both of these religions seek world dominion.
Well, they do, and both religions populate their religion primarily through births. Muslims have an advantage because the men can have multiple wives and populate more quickly. But yeah, the two religions, right now they represent about 3 billion people on the face of the earth, which is about 40% of the world's population. So when you look at world dominion, they've already got a good head start. And when they come together as a global religion, I think the smaller religions, the minor religions, will fall. But Jim, I wanted to also make a point that Islam was started by an appearance of an angel to Muhammad. There's another great religion that was started by the same methodology, an angel appearing to Joseph Smith to start the Mormon religion. So it's really interesting. Both of them are false religions, and both started by deceitful angels.
We're going to take a quick break. Mike Gendron is our guest today here on Crosstalk. We're discussing this Declaration of World Peace that's been signed by Pope Francis and by an imam. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, over the years, we've read a lot from science about amber. Has DNA ever been recovered from it?
Chris, there are fragments of DNA found in amber, but it's well known that DNA decomposes in such a short period of time that even in thousands of years, you'd not expect to find much DNA left. But now an even more remarkable thing has been found that has thrown evolution into a tizzy. Entombed within the bodies of insects fossilized in amber are ancient bacteria which scientists have been able to revive. They've actually come back to life. Over 3,500 types of microorganisms have been rejuvenated. Chris, how can this be? This amber is thought to be millions and millions of years old, but how could things still be alive after all that time? Chris, I think it's the evolutionary story and the story of millions of years which is wrong. The back to Genesis view makes a whole lot more sense.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
If you've just joined us, we're talking on Crosstalk today about this Declaration of World Peace. This is a document that was signed on February 4th, 2019 by Pope Francis and the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, the Islamic Sheikh Amel Al-Tayeb, who met together. They signed this declaration. It's called a document on human fraternity for world peace and living together. Friends, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 17. You're going to read about that great harlot, the coming one world religion, being drunken with the blood of the saints. I'm wondering if there isn't any interesting tie in here. Very interesting observation. Mike Gendron is with us today. He is a former Roman Catholic, some 34 years, learned to, as he studied Scripture, saw this does not mesh out with what I was taught within the Roman Catholic Catechism and the Church, and decided to put his trust and faith in the God of the Bible, the one who sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay for our sin on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, died, buried, rose again, and certainly by faith alone in Christ alone, therefore salvation. Mike, you were talking before the break about Joseph Smith, representative of Mormonism, and also Mohammed, and you have found there's great commonality there.
Well, there really is. Both of them were approached by angels, and both of them really created some interesting books. They plagiarized parts of the Bible. Each of them created immoral practices, and that would include polygamy and overt bigotry, bizarre views of sex and polygamy after the afterlife. And so the parallels are really interesting as you look at these two religions, Islam and Mormonism. The fruit is the same. The teachings are deceptive. And of course, the source is the father of lies. But both claimed Christianity was corrupt. Both said they were God's one true and final prophet. Both borrowed heavily from the Bible. Both embraced polygamy. Both believed in a works righteousness salvation. Both denied original sin. And both denied the deity of Jesus Christ. And so this is what happens when lying signs and wonders come on the scenes in the form of angels. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, we read, "The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders." And so I really believe that Satan knows his days are numbered, and he's got an all-out attack on the truth, and he's using these apparitions of Mary and deceitful angels to deceive the world.
Now, Mike, another point that you have made is that both Catholicism as well as Islam actually both have human mediators.
Yeah, they do. Catholics rely on their priesthood to not only hear confession for the forgiveness of sins, but also to dispense salvation through the sacraments and to offer sacrifices on the altar for those who have committed sins in the previous week. And so the Roman Catholic priesthood is another mediator between God and man. But Muslims rely on the intercession of Muhammad on Judgment Day. In fact, the Quran says he will prostrate himself before Allah, who will say, "O Muhammad, speak, and it will be heard and be given. Intercede, and it will be approved." So Muslims are relying on the mediator, Muhammad, to come to their defense on Judgment Day.
I'd like to read another paragraph from this document. It says, "Terrorism is deplorable and threatens the security of people, be they in the East or in the West, the North or the South, and disseminates panic, terror, and pessimism. But this is not due to religion, even when terrorists instrumentalize it. It is due rather to an accumulation of incorrect interpretations of religious texts and to policies linked to hunger, poverty, injustice, oppression, and pride," and it goes on from there. Mike, could it be that you just have an incorrect interpretation of religious text?
Well, whenever it comes to interpreting anything, we have to use the proper hermeneutic, and I'm confident that I have read the Bible through a literal, historic, grammatical approach, and I think anyone that does that will come away with the same conclusion. They will recognize that truth is something that we need to not only believe, but we also need to embrace, defend, and proclaim. And so, no, I would say that my interpretation is consistent with a good hermeneutic.
And you're not mischaracterizing or misinterpreting Catholicism or Islam?
Well, I've lived Catholicism for 35 years, and so I feel like I know it very well. I was very devout. And it wasn't until God opened my eyes to see the truth of Scripture that I realized I was woefully deceived. And you know, Jim, that's the nature of deception. People don't know they're deceived until they're confronted with the truth. And that's what happened to me and with many others when they open the Bible. They're confronted with the truth of Scripture, and then they have to make a choice. Should I trust Christ and His Word or the teachings and traditions of a religion? And hopefully that's what your listeners will be encouraged to do, is to confront people that are in these false religions and to establish the Bible as the supreme authority for knowing truth and also from exposing error.
Looking at the last page of this document, it says, to this end, by mutual cooperation, the Catholic Church and Al-Azhar announced and pledged to convey this document to authorities, influential leaders, persons of religion all over the world, appropriate regional and international organizations, organizations within civil society, religious institutions, and leading thinkers. Al-Azhar and the Catholic Church ask that this document become the object of research and reflection in all schools, universities, and institutions of formation, thus helping to educate new generations to bring goodness and peace to others, and to be defenders everywhere of the rights of the oppressed and of the least of our brothers and sisters. When you read through this, Mike, they're really talking about worldwide application of this document of peace.
You're right, and that's what the social gospel is all about. You put aside the gospel of Jesus Christ and you look for commonality, for common bonds of unity, and that's what happens. That's where you get unity in the world, is when you pursue common values. And it's really interesting when you speak of common values. Both religions have a history of anti-Semitism, and so it could be that they will be joined in the future because of a common hatred of the Jewish people. But I want to just touch, if I could, Jim, on the apparitions of Mary, because a lot of your listeners may not be aware that Muslims are now flocking to apparition sites. In fact, there's one in Portugal, a city called Fatima, and Muslims are going there. Fatima was the name of Muhammad's first daughter, and so Muslims are seeking messages from Mary, and we know that ultimately lying signs and wonders will be used by Satan to unite these two religions, and I believe that the apparitions of Mary may be a converging of these two religions under a universal Christ that will satisfy all people. And just as they both have a generic God, they both have a generic Christ as well.
It's also interesting to note that these two religious world leaders actually embraced and kissed during the signing ceremony.
Yeah, they did. And a lot of people, when I first made these observations last year, they ridiculed me and mocked me and said, oh, these two religions will never come together. And now we see the two major leaders of the religion signing a document on unity and peace. But a lot of people are still asking the questions, does this mean that Muslims have to become Catholics or Catholics have to become Muslims? And the answer is no. Ultimately, they will worship the Antichrist, those who dwell on the earth, but just as the European nation retained its identity when they came together to form the European Union, they all maintain their same unique culture, customs, traditions, and language, but they joined together in the European Union as one. And so it will be in the end times. The religions may maintain some of their unique culture and different principles and practices, but they will come together under one head.
And that really is borne out in this document, too, because, Mike, in this, they speak of declaring what they call the adoption of a culture of dialogue as the path, mutual cooperation as the code of conduct, reciprocal understanding as the method and standard. So, you know, as long as we have this interfaith dialogue and cooperation and reciprocal understanding of one another, all is good.
Yeah, and that'll ultimately bring unity. And I think we're just living in very exciting times, Jim. We may be the most blessed generation where we see the fulfillment of prophecy take place in our lifetime. And so when I see these things happening, I get excited, because as we look at the Bible, we know these things were prophesied. And we just keep looking up, knowing our redemption is nigh.
In a short time, we're going to open our phone lines here. But, Mike, we would like to make available for our listeners, because we just really scratched the surface in the interview, but you are having a special offer you're making available to our Crosstalk listeners in a two-DVD volume called The Coming One World Religion. Tell us about it.
Yeah, The Coming One World Religion is a message that I did at a large conference in front of about 4,000 people, and it really opened a lot of eyes, and there was a lot of jaws dropping, because when you look at all the unique religions in the world, it's really hard to conceive that they would all come together as one, but the Bible foretells that, and so I did a message showing the strategies to bring about this one world religion. And the catalyst, ultimately, is the Roman Catholic Church. They're the ones that are bringing or building bridges into all the religions. But this DVD message, The Coming One World Religion, has a second message, and it's the crisis of the church. And so both messages are in one DVD, and we're offering it for a 20% discount for all VCY listeners today. So you can do that by going to our website, proclaimingthegospel.org, or calling us at 817-379-5300. When you place your order, we will also include a free publication entitled Rome versus the Bible, and we will show you in that publication how Rome is diametrically opposed to the teachings of the Bible.
Okay, so again, folks, it is The Coming One World Religion DVD. It's a matter of fact, it's a PowerPoint presented, and you'll receive the message there from Mike, but also a second message entitled Crisis in the Church. And he's reduced it here for our Crosstalk listeners today and for a limited time, now for just $12. You can contact them. Go to their website at proclaimingthegospel.org. proclaimingthegospel.org. You click on their store, then click on video messages, and you'll find it right there. Again, click on store, then on video messages, or you may call them at 817-379-5300. And you may need to leave a message with your name and phone number or information there, but that's the number, 817-379-5300. We would like to open up, and by the way, not only will you receive this DVD with two messages, but also a free gospel tract entitled Rome versus the Bible. So again, you can go to the website, proclaimingthegospel.org, clicking on store, then on video messages, or give them a call at the number we just provided. We are also going to open the phone lines here today on Crosstalk to give you opportunity to ask a question. Maybe something about what Mike has said has troubled you here today, and you would like to have that addressed. Our phone number here to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Maybe it's a question on this coming one world religion and the impact here of this peace agreement signed between the leader of the Roman Catholic Church and an Islamic imam that have come together to sign this world document of peace. We'll be back in just 1 minute, but our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The New England Primer was introduced in Boston in 1690 by Benjamin Harris. It was the first textbook printed in America. For a century after its introduction, it was the beginning textbook for students, and until well into the 20th century, it continued to be a principal text in all types of American schools. The founders, as well as millions of other Americans, learned to read from the New England Primer and the Bible. The core of the primer is its rhyming alphabet, such as for letter A, in Adam's Fall, we send all. The letter G, as runs the glass, man's life doth pass. It also included lessons for youth, Bible questions, and a shorter catechism. A pocket-size hardcover edition of this 1777 historical reprint is available for a donation of $9 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the New England Primer.
Listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, Mike Gendron is our guest today, and we're talking about this Declaration of World Peace signed by the Pope and signed by an imam, and taking your questions today here on Crosstalk at 800-733-9829. Lines are filled at this moment, but as soon as you hear somebody hang up, that will be your opportunity to call. And if I could just ask before we open the phone lines, Mike, let me just ask you plainly, do you just have some kind of vendetta against the Catholic Church, or are you just an angry man? Tell us what motivates you to say what you're saying here. Are you just disgruntled?
Love Roman Catholics. In fact, I've dedicated the rest of my life to reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a great compassion for people who are where I was, believing I belong to the one true church, but woefully deceived about my eternal destiny. And so I do hate the Roman Catholic institution that deceives over 1.2 billion people, but I love the individual Catholics. And we need to make that distinction whenever we're witnessing to Catholics. And I hope our listeners recognize these two mission fields represent these two churches or religions represent a huge mission field, and we need to be about the Lord's business to share the gospel with them.
Mike Gendron is our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're going right to the phone lines. We have Sandy, who is calling in from Laval, Wisconsin. Sandy, you're on the air.
Hi. My husband was raised as a Catholic for many years. He's still a devout Catholic. He goes to Mass every Sunday. I was raised as a Catholic as well. And after many years, I discovered VCY America, and I started listening to VCY and became a born-again Christian. The topic of transubstantiation came up between the two of us, and I told my husband that it's not supported in the Bible. So when he went to Mass right after that on Sunday, he asked the priest about it, and the priest said, well, it's not the body, the wafer is not the body, but it's some cell of Jesus. It's like a hair, piece of hair, or a follicle, or a toenail. And I said, well, that's just not supported in the Bible. And so we have this disagreement. Also, when I went, the last time I went to Mass quite a long time ago, I did go to a breakfast, and I asked the Catholics there at the breakfast, there were a couple of couples there, that if they thought Catholic doctrine was more superior than the Bible, and I was shocked. They said yes.
Wow.
So I'm going to hang up and listen to the explanation on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, Sandy, that's why it's so important to establish the Bible as the supreme authority in all matters of faith. And you can do that by going to Acts 17:11, where the Apostle Paul was teaching in the synagogues of Berea, and yet they searched the scriptures to test the veracity of an apostle's teaching, showing that every man's teaching must come under the scrutiny of scripture. And so establish the Bible as the supreme authority, and then if it doesn't line up with scripture, then we need to reject it.
And also, what about this transubstantiation issue?
Yeah, the transubstantiation is a bizarre miracle that the Catholic Church says the priest has the power to change the inner substance of a wafer into the physical body and blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And we know that that's impossible because Jesus physically can only be in one place at one time. Right now he's at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews 9:28 tells us that he will return a second time, not in relation to sin. So the priest is not able to call Jesus down from heaven. It's a false Christ. It's the most serious sin of idolatry.
Okay, Tom in Marinette, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Tom Ellinger, and I grew up in a family. I've got 10 brothers and sisters, a huge family. My mom even made rosaries for 50 years for missionary, Catholic missionary. So I got a huge burden. I just wonder, I'm trying to keep and build relationship. It's getting tougher and tougher as the years. How or what specific, if I said to them, read your Bible, which books or chapters, or what would be the best for them if I could only go to read one chapter?
Just one moment, Mike. We've got double talk going on here. Finish your question here, Tom.
I'm just wondering what book I could tell my family to read that would best show proof or help them to understand the lies of the Catholic Church.
Thank you, Tom. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, the theme of John's gospel is to show that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing in him, you will have eternal life. And so I would encourage them to read the gospel of John, but also highlight the word believe. It appears 98 times. And then read the context around the word believe. They will see that their eternal destiny hangs in the balance on what they believe. If you believe Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, then you have eternal life. And if you do not believe that, then you are destined for hell and you remain unforgiven. So that is the theology of the Gospel of John. Second book, I would take them to the book of Romans, where Paul identifies what the gospel is. So those are the two best places to start.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Dan in Kalamazoo, Michigan, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say that the connection between Catholicism and Islam goes very deep. And one of the ways that you can recognize those connections is by the symbols that they use, such as the crescent moon image and the sun image. One more image that I discovered just a few days ago downtown at the cathedral was the shape of the building. They use the building to describe or to show what looks like a pyramid, just like it is on the back of our dollar bill with the top of the pyramid cut off, exactly the same way, and I've never seen it before in 53 years of my life. That's my comment.
Thank you, Dan. Any comment, Mike, on the symbolism?
Yeah, Don, the symbols are all because they're influenced by the God of this world, and in that case, both religions worship the same God, the God of this world, which we see in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel or the glory of Christ.
Cheryl in Florida, you're on the air.
Hi, yes, I'd like to make a comment, and I appreciate everything you're saying. As far as the transubstantiation, did Jesus not say, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life? And it is my understanding, and I am a lay person and I am a Catholic, that that was a stumbling block for many apostles. Also, Paul says, those who eat the bread with sin, and I don't remember the exact words, bring condemnation on themselves. So I see in the Bible two verses that do speak of the transubstantiation. Also, we do not...
Okay, let's have Mike respond to that here first before we go to the next point. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Cheryl, thanks for your question. If you look in John chapter 6, where Jesus spoke those words, I'd like you to contrast verse 40 and verse 54, because in verse 40, Jesus said, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him has eternal life. And then in verse 54, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. So the only way you can reconcile both verses is to take one literal and one figurative, because what if you eat and drink but you don't behold and believe? Or what if you behold and believe but you don't eat and drink? So clearly Jesus is speaking literally to behold and believe for eternal life, and figuratively in verse 54 to eat and drink. And Jesus said that I spoke in figurative language whenever I was in a mixed crowd. And clearly, in this audience, he's got both believers and unbelievers, because he notes that the unbelievers departed from him because they did not believe him. And that's the nature of an unbeliever. They do not believe Christ and his word. At the end of the passage, we see Jesus asking the apostles, do you want to leave also? And Peter said, no, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. He didn't say you have the flesh of eternal life. The apostles knew what Jesus was speaking of, a figurative language, and so I hope you would consider that.
I apologize for talking over them. Why did Paul say, do not eat this bread with, or you bring condemnation on yourself, those who are in sin, more or less? And also, did Jesus not say to Mary, behold your son, and to John, behold your mother. I just am confused by your conversation on how it's not clear to you.
Well, Cheryl, you just answered your own question. If they do not eat the bread in a worthy manner, it's still bread. It hasn't been transubstantiated. So I hope you will consider that and to look to Christ in Hebrews 9:28. He's not returning to the earth every day at the beck and call of a priest. He remains in heaven until the enemies are made his footstool, and he will not return again until after the tribulation. He'll return to the Mount of Olives, and every eye will see him. There will be no doubt that Jesus Christ has returned.
Cheryl, thank you so much for the call. We have Zoe next in Illinois. Zoe, you're on the air.
Can I say something in response to Cheryl real quick? We're supposed to eat the bread and drink the cup in remembrance of him, and that's what it says in the Word. But I'm calling regarding the Roman Catholic Church worships a false deity, Seb, Horus, and Isis, and that it's a false Christ and a goddess, and I just wondered if Mike would comment on that.
Thank you, Zoe.
Yeah, I do have a DVD message entitled "Which Jesus Do You Trust?" and it really shows that the Jesus of the Catholic Church is not the Jesus of the Bible. He did not finish the work of redemption. He is not the all-sufficient Savior. His blood did not purify them of all sin. That's why they need purgatory. He continues on an altar what he finished on the cross, according to the Roman Catholic religion. And so when you look at a wafer, it's no different when you look to the Israelites who worshiped the golden calf as the true God that delivered them out of Egypt. Both of them were the sin of idolatry because they weren't the true God. The Eucharist is not the true Christ, and Catholics who worship the Eucharist are committing the most serious sin of idolatry. We know from Scripture that God hates idolatry. He put 3,000 Israelites to death for worshiping the golden calf. And so we need to warn Roman Catholics to look to Christ, the ascended, resurrected Savior, who sits at the right hand of God, interceding for those who will trust in him.
We're going to go next to Tom in Port Wing. You're on the air, Tom.
Yeah, my question to Mike is, does he consider the mere meeting in the UAE of the Pope and this imam, or is there something that came out of that meeting that we should be more concerned about? Thank you for...
Yeah, good question. It was not only a religious meeting, but after the document was signed, the Pope attended the World Government Summit, and that calls for full government control of the economy. And so during that meeting, the Pope told the World Government Summit, "I am thinking of you and your commitment in these days as you face fundamental issues, including political challenges, economic development, protection of the environment, and the use of technology." He went on to say, "We cannot really speak of sustainable development without solidarity." So here you see the Pope, who's not only a religious leader, but he's also the head of the Vatican, and that's why ambassadors from all the countries of the world come to meet with him. He's also a political leader, and he's coming together with the governments of the world for unity as well.
Mike Gendron is our guest. We're up against a break, and so we'll be back in just 1 minute. We're talking about the Declaration of World Peace, a document signed by the Pope and by an imam. We'll be right back. This is Crosstalk. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. We're continuing our series on brainwashing. First step was remove leaders that are principled people. Two was to create moral confusion. And three, teach revisionist
history. In fact, that's what's happened in America going all the way back to the Clinton administration. We saw national standards for history that did not want to teach accurate history. We saw the removal of patriotic figures, founding fathers, who were all about a constitutional republic. Well, if you're going to break down a constitutional republic, you certainly can't teach about a constitutional republic. And one way you do that is by breaking down the idea of absolute truth, because a constitutional republic is based on the law of the divine. That's according to William Blackstone, the leading scholar for the founding fathers. So you cannot teach any history on patriotism, sovereignty, borders, everything that is against globalism, you must eliminate. That's how you brainwash a people.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mike Gendron is our guest from Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. And if you missed his special offer, have handy a sheet of paper, pen or pencil, because in this final segment, we will be giving you both a phone number as well as a website that you may obtain this two-message DVD and called The Coming One World Religion. So be ready to jot down the information. We'll give it here in just a short time. Let's go to Edinburgh, Texas, and we have Jesus calling in. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I just wanted to make a comment. We go soul winning every Saturday and every Tuesday, door to door, and I just encourage everybody that's calling in to read the Bible and try to reach everybody with the gospel.
Yeah.
The only way they would understand the Bible is that if they're faith first, but the blood of Jesus Christ, and then they'll understand all the doctrines of the Bible. So I just wanted to encourage them. My brother asked the priest and the nun, there was two nuns there, and he asked them a question. He said, if you were to die today, where would your soul go? And the priest said, well, we'd rather not answer a question that nobody knows the answer. Well, there is an answer. The Bible says, for all to call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah.
So that's my question. Just encourage everybody to go read the Bible and go soul winning and have a good testimony and live in sanctification. And I think that would change a lot of people's minds. God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. And Mike, the gospel is what it's all about.
Here, Jesus making the Lord's last command his first concern, and we really need to be about the Great Commission and go out and evangelize, especially in these two huge mission fields that we talked about.
Jacob is calling from Victoria, Texas. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Hi.
I've heard a lot of talk lately, Jim, about that Rome is not the Babylon here in Revelation 17, but I see it plainly here. It's repeated twice by Daniel, and here in 16, 10, and 11, there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. That would be Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and that would be the five, and then there's Rome in the last verse of this chapter. But I have more verses on that transubstantiation than I can really...
Yeah.
Mark in my Bible, I only have three strings, but, you know, here in Psalm 106:28, they join themselves also unto Baal, Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead, and over in Numbers 25, this is just so, there's so much here. They're both daughters of Babylon. It says here in Psalm 137, I had that marked, but I lost a little paper.
Well, let me have my comment on this issue here. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I agree. If we're in the season of the Lord's return, and I believe we are, there is no more visible entity on this earth that really lines up with Revelation 17 as the woman riding the beast. It really fits the Roman Catholic Church to a T. But again, we're thinking we're in the season of the Lord's return. He could tarry for another 1,000 years and everything could change. But right now, I have to agree with you that the Roman Catholic Church is the harlot riding the beast.
Jacob, thanks for calling. Amanda is next in Ohio. Amanda, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I have two-fold question. The first concerning Catholicism and the second concerning Islam. On the first, I'm a Protestant, and I have heard of some Catholics have told me that Roman Catholicism, the Roman Catholics, are much more different than just other Catholics. In other words, in regards to like Methodist, Baptist, Protestant, you know, such as that, the branches. I was wondering if that is even true, if there's any truth to that. And on the second
question, so is a Roman Catholic different than a Catholic? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, sir, please.
Okay, Mike?
Yeah, Roman Catholics are those that report to the Vatican. The Pontiff is their head of the church, and they also have different Catholics. There's Coptic Catholics in Egypt, and there's also Catholics that have separated from the Roman Catholic Church, but all in all, they practice the same teachings, and it is a false religion, no matter if it's Roman Catholic or just Catholic.
Okay, and your second question?
Yes, sir. On the Islam, my concern is this, is I know that in Israel, if I'm correct on the location, I know they have the mosque with the golden temple or the golden dome, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
If that is seen in your area, should there be concern if it's been told that that is a Protestant church? And my concern is that if it is a Protestant church, shouldn't there be like a cross? Because most Protestant churches have crosses. And wouldn't the dome
Are you referring to the on the Temple Mount?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Would it have a Muslim, and forgive me because I don't know the proper title for it. I know the Christians have the cross. But would it have an indicator other than the dome, or would that be a concern for the area that we...
Okay, Mike, any thoughts on...
Yeah, well, the symbol for Islam is the crescent moon, and so the golden temple on the Temple Mount in Israel is the Muslims. That's where they worship. It's really interesting that there's been people suggesting that... that when the temple is built, the Muslims can worship on Friday, the Jews on Saturday, and the Catholics on Sunday, because they all have different worship days. But your question on the Protestant churches having a cross as a symbol, that's fading away pretty quickly. There's a lot of Protestant churches now that don't even put a cross up. They become social clubs or seeker-friendly places for people to be entertained and have their ears tickled rather than to worship the true God. So this isn't an issue of Catholicism versus Protestantism, because there are Protestant denominations that have gone into apostasy as well.
Thank you, Amanda. And I apologize, but we've run out of time on the broadcast. Mike, I do want you to, though, share again with our listeners the special offer that you're making available to them for a limited time, those listening here to Crosstalk.
Well, sure, Jim. The offer is The Coming One World Religion. It's a message that is on DVD with all the PowerPoint and keynote slides. It's an excellent DVD to sit down and share with your neighbors and bring them up to speed on what is happening regarding Bible prophecy. Second message is Crisis in the Church, and we deal with what's going on in the Protestant Church as well. But we also will include with the offer a free publication on Rome versus the Bible. This is discounted, the DVD, 20%, so you can receive it for $12 as a VCY listener. And you can do that by going to our website at proclaimingthegospel.org, or calling us at 817-379-5300.
Again, listeners, that's proclaimingthegospel.org. Click on Store, then on Video Messages, or go call 817-379-5300. That's 817-379-5300. Thank you, Mike, for being with us today and sharing with us really a warning about what's happening in the world today.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Blessings to you.
And, folks, thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.